Good morning. It's Wednesday, the 24th of June, and the desk this morning is covered in papers about agents, but not the triumphant kind. Today is really about the distance between what we can build and what these systems can actually do, and almost every story I pick sits somewhere along that gap. There's a real win in here, and a number that should give us pause and a glimpse of where all of this is heading. Pour yourself a cup, and let's get into them. First up is a release from the Quen team that I think is the most substantial single piece of research today. It's called Quen Agent World, and the idea is a little different from the models we usually talk about. Most of what crosses this desk is a model trained to act, to take a step, call a tool, write some code. Quen Agent World is trained instead to imagine the world the agent acts in. It's a world model. You give it the current situation and a possible action, and it predicts what happens next. The wager is that if an agent carries an accurate simulator of its environment in its head, it plans and reasons better. They've shipped two versions, both mixture of experts models. That's an architecture where only a fraction of the network activates for any given input. The smaller one runs 35 billion parameters with about 3 billion active. The larger one is 397 billion parameters with roughly 17 billion active. Both were trained to simulate agentic environments across 7 different domains using long chain of thought reasoning, where the model works step by step through how the world evolves. The asset underneath all this is the data, more than 10 million real-world interaction trajectories. The training runs in 3 stages. First, continued pre-training to absorb general world dynamics. Then, supervised fine-tuning to switch on next state prediction. And finally, a reinforcement learning stage that sharpens the simulation against a mix of rule-based and rubric-based rewards. To check whether the simulator is any good, they built a benchmark from the real behavior of 5 frontier models across 9 established tests, and they report that Quen Agent World predicts how those worlds unfold, better than the frontier models themselves. But here's the result I'd actually circle. You can use this world model as a stand-in for real environments when you train agents with reinforcement learning. And they report that agents trained inside the simulator come out better than agents trained in the real environments alone. If that holds up outside Alibaba's own testing, it matters a great deal, because real agent rollouts are slow, expensive, and sometimes unsafe to gather. A simulator that produces better training data than reality would change how this whole field generates its data. The code is out, so people will be checking that claim quickly. Moving on to our second story, which is the genuine win I promised you. OpenAI published an account of an immunologist named Derya Unitmaz at the Jackson Laboratory for Genomic Medicine, who used GPT-5 Pro to crack a question his lab had been stuck on since 2022. And I like this one because it isn't a benchmark. It's a real problem at a real bench. Here's the puzzle. His group had briefly treated human immune cells, specifically CD4 positive T cells, with a compound called 2-deoxyglucose, which interferes with the cell's ability to burn glucose. After they washed the compound out, the cells didn't go back to normal. They held a lasting shift toward an inflammatory state, the kind immunologists call T-helper 17. Why would a brief metabolic nudge leave a permanent change in what the cell becomes? Nobody could explain it, and it sat unsolved for 3 years. According to OpenAI's write-up, GPT-5 Pro looked at an unpublished chart of the lab's data and, within minutes, proposed a mechanism. Blocking glucose metabolism lifts a kind of brake that normally stops these cells from committing to that inflammatory fate. And crucially, it suggested a specific experiment to test the idea. They ran the experiment, and it supported the model's explanation. The biology here points toward cancer and autoimmune research, where this particular cell type is central. Now, I want to be careful about what this is and isn't. It's a single case validated in one lab, reported by the company that makes the model. It is not a controlled study of how often the model's hypotheses turn out to be right, and that false positive rate is exactly what the field will want to see next. But notice the shape of it. The model didn't replace the scientists, and it didn't run the experiment. What it did was compress the slowest step, generating the right hypothesis, from months of expert deliberation down to minutes, and then hand the human a concrete next action at the bench. That framing, the model, as something that sits inside the research loop and produces the next experiment rather than the final answer, is the part that stays with me. Third up is the number I promised would give us pause, and it pairs almost too neatly with that immunology story. It's a new benchmark called Nature Bench, and it asks a harder question than most. Not, can an AI agent reproduce a known result? But, can it match the best published result on real scientific problems, the actual findings from Nature Family journals? They distilled 90 tasks from peer-reviewed papers across several disciplines, and they did something clever on the infrastructure side, a pipeline called NatureGym that automatically builds a standardized, self-contained computing environment for each task straight from the source paper that fixes a problem that has quietly undermined earlier Agent for Science benchmarks, where every task lived in its own fragile hand-built setup that nobody could reproduce. Then, they ran 10 frontier agent configurations with web search switched off so the agent couldn't just look up the paper's own answer. The strongest one beat the published state of the art on only 17.8% of tasks, and the failure analysis is the part worth sitting with. When the agents did win, they mostly won by translation, taking a scientific problem and quietly reshaping it into a familiar, supervised prediction task they already knew how to attack, rather than inventing any new scientific method. And when they lost, it wasn't because they misunderstood the question. They understood it fine. They lost by picking the wrong method or by running out of compute. That distinction matters more than the headline percentage, a model that fails because it misreads the problem you might fix with better prompting. A model that grasps the problem perfectly, but cannot invent the method it needs. That's a deeper wall. So set this next to that immunology result for a second. In one case, a model found the right mechanism for a single, beautiful problem. Here, across 90 problems under controlled conditions, that kind of genuine invention is still rare. Both things are true at once, and holding them together is, I think, the honest picture of where we are. They've released the benchmark, the pipeline, and a public leaderboard, so that 17.8 is now a number other groups will try to push. And for our fourth and final story today, we lift our eyes from what one agent can do to what happens when there are millions of them. Google DeepMind put out a long conversation between one of their senior research scientists, Nenad Tomashev, and the host Hannah Fry, and it's all about a future they call the agentic economy. The setup is this. We mostly picture an AI agent as something working for you, running an errand, executing a multi-step plan on your behalf. But what happens when millions of these agents aren't just working for us, but transacting, negotiating, and delegating to each other? Tomashev's framing is a shift from designing one capable system to designing a whole society of specialists. And once you're there, the hard problems change shape. A few threads stood out to me. The first is that coordination itself becomes the engineering problem. How do agents delegate work, build reputation, and form something like contracts? Those stop being afterthoughts and become the core design. The second is a very human risk he calls automation bias, our tendency to overtrust whatever the machine hands us. And a cousin of it he calls cognitive monoculture. If everyone's agents are quietly running on the same few underlying models, then the diversity of approaches that keeps markets and science healthy can collapse without anyone noticing. And the third is security in a world where the things attacking your agents are other agents. He talks about dynamic cloaking and deliberately planted traps designed to fool a machine rather than a person. I should be clear that this is a conceptual piece, not a paper with results. It's DeepMind sketching an agenda and pointing at their own research on agent delegation, on virtual agent economies, on securing these systems. But that's exactly why I wanted to end here. The first three stories were about a single agent, building it a world model, watching it crack one real problem, measuring how often it falls short. This last one asks what we do once they number in the millions, talking to each other, and it tries to name the failure modes: bias, monoculture, manipulation. before they arrive instead of after. So what was this morning really about? For me, it was the honest distance between ambition and ability. We are getting genuinely better at building agents, giving them simulated worlds to learn in, watching one of them hand a scientist a hypothesis that held up under the microscope. And in the same breath, a careful benchmark reminds us that real scientific invention is still mostly beyond them, and a thoughtful conversation reminds us that we're about to have millions of these things negotiating with each other before we've fully understood one. That tension is the field right now, and it's a good place to keep your eyes. The full digest has the rest. 30-some stories today. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, keep reading papers.